Well, we're starting a brand new series on the presidents and America, or America and her presidents. And we're going to begin this message by looking at the Bible. The world has had good rulers and bad rulers, and good prime ministers and bad prime ministers, and any mediocre, and etc. America is a very young country, so America hasn't got the long history that the United Kingdom or Wales or other countries might have, China, Japan. In Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through number 7, it says here, "Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you not want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword in vain. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render what is due to them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom is due, and fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due." Now, that is the basic establishment of human government. Now, that's in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we have human government also established after the flood. After the flood, the responsibility was scatter and multiply. But also, there was a responsibility to be honest and to not kill and murder. And if a man killed and murdered, then he was to be executed. The government was to protect, the time of human government was to protect man from man and man from government. That's the whole story. The whole statement in a nutshell, or in a Reader's Digest abbreviated form. To protect honest people from wicked people, and protect people from the government itself. Now, that's not always been the fact. It says that the government should protect you. That the government should protect you if you're innocent, and it ought to penalize or execute those that are evil. For one whole year in America, with this Black Lives Matter and Antifa, we had murder and mayhem from one end of this nation to the other. And one party, an American government, the Republicans, said it was bad and it shouldn't be. And then the Democrats said, oh, they're just rioting because they have caused riot. There is no reason for you to destroy somebody's property and to take their livelihood away from them, destroy their homes, their businesses, and loot and pillage. That's anarchy, and that is not government, but anarchy. The first president, I'm going to talk about America and its presidents. The first president we're going to talk about is not Joe Biden. It's going to be George Washington. Now, George Washington and I had one thing in common. A hatchet. A hatchet. Now, on his sixth birthday, now George Washington's a lot older than I was when I had my hatchet. It actually wasn't mine, but my grandfather gave me this hatchet to go out there and chop wood. And I did. I chopped all the wood up. I had blisters on my hands, but I really enjoyed chopping wood. So I just kept on chopping, kept on chopping, kept on chopping. Now, let's go back to George Washington. When he was 6 years old, I was about two. George Washington was given a hatchet for a present. And he went out with a hatchet, and supposedly, historically, and according to legend, he chopped down one of his father's cherry trees. His father came along very disappointed, and he said, "Who chopped my cherry tree down?" And George Washington said, "Oh, father, I cannot tell a lie. It was I that chopped the cherry tree down." Now, back to my hatchet. When I was a young boy, I grew up walking in the cotton fields, and at times my grandmother would leave me home with my grandfather. Now, we lived in a one-room shack, a shack. It had a dirt floor, but it had been watered down and swept off. We had a wood stove over here, a bed right there, and a little tiny table right there. No electricity and no running water at all. Never. Well, my grandfather gave me this hatchet, and I went out and began to chop up all the wood. And I ran out of wood to chop up because I've done all my wood chopping. So I wanted to chop up something down that was standing up. So I went up there, and here being a little baby, not much more than baby, it's wonder I didn't cut my fingers off. I went out there and began to chop down. Here's a little shack like this with a little pitched roof. And in front of the shack was and we didn't have a door. All we had was a tarp flap. Didn't have enough wood to make a door. But my grandfather had put a little porch out on the front of it. It was only about 6 or 8 foot out and as wide as a little shack. And he had boards crippled together on there. It's when you nail boards together because we didn't have board long enough to do that. So he nailed boards like that. And I went over to one side of that. Now my grandfather was in there laying on a bed asleep. He had the Spanish flu or German flu, as he called it, from World War I, and it had destroyed his lungs. Well, I began to chop. And I chopped and I chopped and I chopped. And remember, I'm a baby out there. I can walk. I'm about 3 foot tall or so. 3 foot two, I think, when I was 2 years old. And I began to chop down. There was two post on the little shed on the front of the house. And I began to chop the one on the southwest corner of the shack. And I chopped and I chopped and chopped. My grandfather never said one thing to me. He's sitting there within 15 feet of me. And he's on the bed and I'm chopping and I'm sure it's shaking the whole house. Because there wasn't much there. Just boards nailed up that we had picked up off out of the canal, floating down the canal bank, and we built this little old house, this shack out of it, out of the boards. Chopped, chopped, chopped. And finally, the roof fell down. And I barely escaped. It fell down and fell about 3 feet or so. And fell down and hit the ground like that. It was all lopsided now. My grandfather didn't say one word. He came out there, said, "Jimmy, I handed him the hatchet." He went back in, pulled his little carpenter tray out underneath the bed, put it in there and shoved it back in on that dirt floor and got back up and went back to bed. All he said to me was, "Jimmy, Not one other word. He didn't say, you're a bad boy. Did you do that? Well, there's nobody else around there. I mean, I'm the one that chopped down the post. Nobody else is there. If something happens in this house here with me and Marilyn, it's either Marilyn or me. If I didn't do it, she had to do it. If she didn't do it, I had to do it. So, I mean, I was there. My grandfather said, what happens at the porch? He didn't say that. He just came out there and said, Jimmy, I got the hatchet. He put it underneath there, and then I went on around doing my business and was real happy that I didn't get killed because that almost killed me. Now, that's about the only thing that George Washington and I have in common, was a hatchet. George Washington was born in Westmoreland County, Virginia, in February the 22nd, 1732. He died December the 14th, 1799. Now, why did George Washington die? It was because of modern medicine. That's why he died. The medicine that went all the way back to Greek and where they had to figure out what your body, they bled you. They gave you doses of this thing and doses of that thing to try to keep your body in balance with phlegm and bile, etc., etc., etc. That idea of medicine killed many people. Now, if he'd gone out there and got himself a good Cherokee medicine man, the man would probably live to be several years longer because he had pneumonia. They had been bleeding him for weeks, and he kept getting weaker and weaker and weaker. They put leeches on him. They did everything. I can assure you today they wouldn't do this to a man. But they did, and it killed him. Medicine has progressed since then. Now, his presidency was from between April the 30th, 1789, to March the 4th, 1797. 8 years that he was president of the United States. He's the very first president of the United States, and he set many examples for us, even to this day. Now, what party was George Washington from?
Democrat.
If we would name him today, he would have been a Democrat, yes. But back then, there weren't really any parties. There were just two different type of ideas. One of them was the Federalist, and that's what he was, and he believed that the government ought to be big enough to take care of all the problems in America. That's what you would call a Federalist. And the others were Democratic Republicans. Now, isn't that funny? Democratic Republicans. And they favored a non-centralized or decentralized model of governance. President Washington today is looked down upon because he owns slaves. Every important person in America, nearly every important person, had slaves. They had slaves or servants. Slaves or servants. Now, in the North, they had people that were slaves from the time they were 5 years old in great factories. In the South, they had bought and paid for slaves, but they were white slaves also. And in America, they were more Indian slaves than any other slaves ever. Now, there were white slaves. Two white slaves that were very important leaders in America were Benjamin Franklin. He was an indentured slave servant. And Andrew Johnson. Now, one of my great, 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 many times removed uncles was John Paul Jones. John Paul Jones was sold into slavery, or indenturement, into a slave shipping company coming out of Africa. So he would go to Africa, and he would be on this ship, and they would bring these black slaves to England, and they would ship them out of there. Now, England gave up the practice of slavery earlier than some other countries, and also France. except that they still had Indian slaves or foot runners or footmen in England and France. American Indian slaves. I want you to understand that. Now, because George Washington was a slave owner, they're going to take his name off of schools and off of buildings. George Washington did a lot of things for this country. When George Washington died, he had all of his slaves set free. Now, let's get back to John Paul Jones for a moment. John Paul Jones went to Africa and was taking slaves, and one slave ship that he was on, and he was an indentured servant or slave on that ship. He didn't own himself or anything. He could not go out and get a job and get paid for it at all. He was a slave. On the way back to England, every person, every sailor, and the captain all died of malaria. The vibes infections. The black people, the black slaves, were immune to malaria. Malaria originated in Africa. On his trip back to England from Africa, he had to commandeer the ship. He had to sail the ship. He had to be the captain of the ship. John Paul did. His name was John Paul, not John Paul Jones. Rand Paul, and Ron Paul are my relatives from that side of my family. The Pauls were always of strong nature. When John Paul got back to England, they freed him. He had done such a good job of getting the slaves back there that they set him free. Now he was a free man. And he soon quit the job of captaining ships from Africa, and he came to America along with other of his family. And they settled near New York and then North Carolina and South Carolina. Now, they brought slaves here to America, but they had a lot of black slaves, a lot of Indian slaves, but the Indian slaves died from the malaria that had been brought here. The vivex infections had been brought here by the black slaves. The mosquitoes we had, the Anopheles quadrimaculatus, all the time, except they had no vivex infection in their gut. Now, what happens in this, you have this vivex infection, this parasite that gets in the gut of the mosquito. And when the mosquito bites somebody, they pass this Tritian fever or this vivex infection into your bloodstream. And as these parasites hatch out, you have Tritian fever. In other words, you will be real sick and a high fever for so many days, and then you'll be better. And that goes on and on and on. Now, the American Indians, since they didn't have any immunity to any of these things, nor the colds or flu or anything else, they died off real fast as slaves. But the black people lasted because they were immune to it. And in the South, they would build these great big homes, these big mansions, southern mansions, on hilltops. They were already doing that and copying after the American Indians, the five civilized tribes. The five civilized tribes were farmers when the Anglo-Saxons came here. I'm giving you a lot of history background, historical background now. And the slaves would be down in the lower quarters. Well, the Indians that were down in these lower quarters got the vivex infection or malaria, and they died. But the black slaves were immune to it, so they used black slaves. They were not near as many black slaves in America as it were Indian slaves. And there were white slaves in America, Benjamin Franklin and Andrew Jackson and John Paul Jones. In the American Revolution, which we're talking about right here with George Washington, John Paul Jones played a great event He had a lot of, took part in this. He had a great part in all this. John Paul was down in the Mediterranean, in the Caribbean, and his first mate revolted against him, and he killed him. And they were, and they liked the first mate so well that John Paul Jones had to, or John Paul had to run for his life, and he changed his name to John Paul Jones. And he went up there with General Washington and all of these people, and he said, "We need to take the war to England during the American Revolution." He said, "If you give me ships and a command, I will go there and I'll whip them all the way there and all the way back. And I will cut off their supply lines and their military men, troops coming to America." Well, he did that. And they never paid him either. He ended up dying in poverty in Paris, France. Really a young man in his 40s. President Teddy Roosevelt went back there, found his body, and took him back with the Great White Fleet back to Annapolis, and buried him as a hero's, an honorable burial. And that was the father of the American Navy. John Paul, known better as John Paul Jones. Now, all of this was taking place as the American Revolution was taking place. And what qualified George Washington to be the first president of the United States? Because he was the, first of all, he helped write the Constitution, didn't he? He had fought in the French and Indian War between 1754 and 1763. He was a great general. He was a very wealthy man. George Washington was one of the most wealthy presidents we ever had at that period of time. Except George Washington, when he had his troops, his Continental Army, he clothed and fed them from his own pocketbook much. George Washington spent a lot of his wealth fighting for American freedom from England. He paid his own wages as a general. It devastated him financially. Finally, at the end of the war, he had to borrow money to make a trip to New York because Washington, D.C. wasn't there yet for the Continental Congress. He was a farmer. He was a gregarian type person like Thomas Jefferson was. And he had farms and he had slaves and he had cattle and he had chickens. Now, I know many of you don't know about this. George Washington was a world-famous chicken fighter. He had the greatest chickens in the world at that time. People would come from all over the world and they'd fight chickens. And chicken fighting was a sport of kings at that time. He had white hackles and grays, is what he had. I studied all this and I found this out when I studied about the history of Game of Thrones and cockfighting in the world. He started all with Alexander the Great, the jungle fowl. Well, George Washington had developed these chickens, and they were fighting them. This was a great sport in the South and in Europe. Every boy in Europe that was well-to-do, that was a what we called an honorable family of means, had to, when he graduated, he had to go out and put a rooster up and condition that rooster 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the evening, feed him, make sure, and they fought him in the pits. And they had plenty of cockpits in England and Ireland and Wales. All through those countries, they fought chickens. Well, George Washington had these chickens. And he made a lot of money fighting chickens because he had some of the best chickens in the world. The first coinage in America, the legend has it. Now, there's a lot of legends about George Washington. You know, he threw that silver dollar across the Potomac. You know, that's, you remember that? Well, it wasn't really a silver dollar. It was a piece of slate about the size of a silver dollar, and he did throw it across the Potomac River. He was a very strong man. He was one of the first men in America to have false teeth, and they were made out of wood. That's why he always looked kind of funny when they take a picture of him with his mouth closed. Not ever going to be open. They were real choppers. They were real, made out of real wood and ivory. Later in America, when he would become president, when some foreign entity came over here, they brought their chicken and they bought their chicken. George Washington regained some of his wealth by doing that. It wasn't so much that he was a gambler, but he spent his life breeding these chickens genetically. Now, this man was a Democrat, as we would call him today, because he believed in a larger federal government able to take care of different problems in the government. One thing that President Washington warned America against was partyism. Republican, independents, Democrats, all of this would cause conflict in America. He said it's better if we are the people and not a party people. I know Rand Paul has said, let's quit this party politics and let's get down to trying to govern America. Quit the party politics. President Washington guarded, he said, please guard yourself from party politics. Taking sides and different things. He said, just govern America. We got to do what is best for America. We got to keep America the great, one of the greatest countries. We have to become one of the greatest countries in the world if we're going to survive. You have to be strong enough to survive. As simple as that. He helped formulate the Constitution of the United States in 1789, and also later the amendments to the Constitution. First Amendment is what? Freedom of speech. The Second Amendment is what? The right to bear arms.
Yeah.
To protect yourself. These are the things that are very, very important. Him throwing a piece of slate the size of a silver dollar across the Potomac River, and him chopping down the cherry tree as I chopped down the porch, and said, I cannot tell a lie, it is I that chopped down the cherry tree. My grandfather knew I did. I didn't have to tell him I did not tell a lie. I was there. And the hatchet was there, and he said, Jimmy, and I gave him the hatchet. He knew I chopped it down. President Washington was one of the only presidents that was elected by what we call a majority. Everybody wanted him. Everybody wanted George Washington. They wanted him to be king. And he said, no, listen, we just got rid of that. Then they set the term limits, or the term for the president. And then, of course, he served two terms and then resigned. He didn't want to stay there. He wanted to go home and make a living. He didn't live off of America. America lived off of him. John Kennedy says, ask not what you can do for your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. That was like George Washington. He won the electoral vote. The people elected representatives to the Electoral College, and they voted the wishes of the people. And they better have back then. They might have got shot. But there was a unanimous election of George Washington two times. And they would have elected him until he died, because he was doing a good job. George Washington, during his presidency, established the cabinet and the federal judicial system and how things work, the balance of power in America. We have the Senate, we have the representatives of Congress, and we have the Supreme Court, a judicial system. He was one that did that. In 1794, he put down the whiskey rebellion when the people in Pennsylvania decided that when the government taxed their whiskey they were making out of their stills, that they weren't going to pay it. He didn't want to use this great federal authority to make them pay the taxes, but he did. Because he realized that if he didn't do it, there would be rebellion for every other reason across America. Because states would not want to correspond to the whole nation. President Washington said that the nation needs to be united to meet all foes. A nation must be united. People must be going in one direction together. We must be agreed. President Washington stayed neutral in the French Revolution and also the war between France and Great Britain in 1793. America established the Jay Treaty of 1794, and President Washington normalized relations between Great Britain and relieved a great deal of pressure on the United States government. One thing during all this problem, we were having Muslim problems with shipping off the Cape of Africa all the time. President Washington voluntarily entered politics for the sake of his country. He was not a leech or a parasite of America, off of America. He helped America. He entered politics out of a sense of patriotism and civil duty. Rather than holding the office as long as he could, he resigned after two terms, and that president went on until the 1900s when Franklin Roosevelt was elected four times. President Washington did not have a deep formal education. He always felt like he didn't have enough education because he couldn't read Greek and Latin. Even in his farewell speech, he told Thomas Jefferson what he wanted to write, and that he had Thomas Jefferson actually do the writing of his farewell address. On September the 19th, 1796. The things that were a foundation stones of American presidency were that he established some very safeguards to American government. He set precedents and standards for what the American presidency could and should not do. And he did this because he was the first president. Simple as that. He thought ahead. What would some other man, less likely to be honest, do in the future if I don't set a president right now? He did not grow rich in his presidency. He left the presidency to go back into the workplace, so to speak. President Washington wanted to set a standard against and safeguards against dynasties in America. Dynasties. Family dynasties, as presidents would go. Like the Bush family. Dynasties. He saw that it could degenerate. American government could degenerate into dynasties where people would take advantage and literally rape and reap the benefits of the whole American people. General Washington, President Washington, our servant Washington, tried to standardize some things in American government. Now, you have to realize that when President Washington was elected in office, not everybody in America had the right to vote. Did you know that? Now, we always look about the blacks getting the right to vote, etc., etc. American Indians didn't have a right to vote until the 1970s, 50s. The black people, some black people had a right to vote back then because they had to be landed to vote. You had to own property. You had to pay taxes on property before you could vote. And a whole lot of America couldn't do that because they had no money. They were slaves to the company store, so to speak, in the great institutions. Now we have this white supremacy phobia in America today, and I'm not white, so I can speak on this on neutral ground, okay? Maybe I look white to some extent. I was a very dark Indian when I was young, with dark black hair and eyes so brown that they looked like they were black. I know what racism is. I have been a recipient of it most of my early life. Washington didn't want America to become a welfare state to the rest of the world. He would be very much appalled at the UN. He believed that America ought to leave things be with the other nations and just kind of coexist with them. Unless they were camping on your doorstep. Everything that would come after this later on, all the ideas would come after Washington. The idea that the United States would keep troops in foreign countries to try to establish colonies, so to speak, or other little governments like ours was never in George Washington's mind, ever. That was something that came from the Bushes. That was something we have, that's a legacy we have from the Bushes. And the continuous wars. George Washington was a general. He fought there in the front lines. There are lots of legends about him. He was a very religious man. He prayed a lot. He was a Baptist. One of his, what we call chaplains, was John Gano, which was a Baptist minister back at that period of time. They prayed before battles, and he fought, and he fought hard. He suffered hardship. America, he said, shouldn't be a nation-building nation, but a nation, not a nations-building nation, but a nation building its own powerful future. George Washington gave us a lot of good examples. He knew how to fight a war. He knew how to suffer on the battlefield. And he knew, even in the infancy of America, that America had some problems in the future. So he tried to do his best to give America a balanced government so that one party, which he abhorred partyism, so that one party could not gain control and rip the other side off, or one group of Americans could not take advantage of the other group of Americans, and one group of Americans could not look down upon the other group of Americans. He tried to make America a democracy, a democratic republic. These are some of the things that our first president did for us. I hope you can appreciate him and not be ashamed of the man. My people were slaves. My family moved from Oklahoma Indian Territory to California to be mistaken for White Okies so we could own land. Like I said, I grew up walking. I learned to walk in a cotton field behind a cotton sack. I was picking cotton before I was probably a year old, walking, because that's what we needed to do to live and eat. No running water, no electricity. No third world country was any worse than what I lived in. My family were great landowners in the South, in Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, Mississippi. Their farms, their lands, their plantations were taken away from them, and they were shipped into Indian Territory, where Andrew Johnson said they would never be taken away from them. That if the government ever broke the treaty, the Indian Removal Act, then all the other treaties would be abolished. All of that land went away. Half of it went after the Civil War because some of the Indians were in the Confederacy. So they took half of the land, the Cherokee, what they called the Choctaw Nation, the Indian Territory, away from the Indians because some of them were, it was an excuse to steal the land. I know what racism is and what it is not also. May we be praying for our country every day. May we pray for our country every day. As it said, governments are set up to protect people. And when the government doesn't protect people from other people, it is a non-government. It's a nothing. We're in a lot of trouble today. The convicts are being turned out on society, and then they're going to slap your hands and take your guns away so you cannot protect yourself from the criminals who are turning loose on you. That's terrible. That's a failure. We need to get back to a balance where we're both, all parties are working toward one goal, is to make America great and make it as a shining example to the whole world for real democracy and real freedom. Freedom of speech is a very important thing. If you don't have freedom of speech, you've got a communist party. You've got a totalitarian oligarchy. We don't want to go that way, people. We had some great leaders in the past. Let's demand of those the same things as leaders that we shall have in the future. Our Father, we send this message out. I hope that it enlightens people. I hope that they saw what George Washington did for this country, that he melted down his own silverware and coined his own coins, that he fed his own armies. And we have this legacy we need to uphold. And he gave us religious freedom too. Baptists know that's a precious thing. Father, keep us in your hand, protect us in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.